You're listening to Like Mother, Like Son on WJFF.
And that's my mother, Patricia Adams.
And that's my son, Ramsey Adams.
The show is Like Mother, Like Son?
Yes. That's right, with
really?
The question mark.
With a question mark.
Right. You know, it's a mother's son thing.
Welcome to Like Mother, Like Son. That's my mom, Patricia Adams.
And that's my son, Ramsey Adams.
And this is our producer, Mark Sutton, live in the studio.
And today we have author Andrea Leventhal.
Well, Mom, today we're joined by co-author of a book that probably would have been quite controversial when you were dating. It's called The Hookup Handbook, A Single Girl's Guide to Living It Up. Andrea Leventhal, who is also Associate Beauty Editor for Cosmopolitan Magazine, is here to talk about why dating is a thing of the past. Now it's all about hooking up. Welcome to Like Mother, Like Son, Andrea.
Hi, how are you? Thank you.
You know, Ramsey, I would actually argue that things aren't so different than they were in 1962 when I was 20, although I admit there was a standing joke that women went to college to get their MRS. But 1962 was the year of Sex and the Single Girl by Helen Gurley Brown, which
yeah.
It didn't really change things. It was really a tell-it-like-it-really-is book. And, Andrea, I would say your book, The Hookup Handbook, also seems more like a tell it like it is rather than a book to, you know, advocate a certain change in male-female relationships.
I'm so glad you said that because whenever I talk about my book to, I do frequent speaking, arrangements and things, and people always say to me, it's really not that different if you really read it and think about it. And that's the exact point. It's a social commentary on what's going on. It's not necessarily about sex, which doesn't make it that different from the 1960s. Girls now aren't, I don't think, having so much more sex than, you know, their 1960s predecessors. I think just the way about their, you know, doing their relationship thing is a little bit different. It's much more casual. So whereas you used to date maybe one guy at a time, you casually see a few people at the same time, but that doesn't mean you're having sex with all of them.
You know, one thing I do notice that's different is the way of communication. We didn't have cell phones, instant messaging, text messaging, and that kind of thing. Now for my generation, perhaps, could you explain how that works a little bit?
The technology is perhaps the biggest reason why this casual dating trend is so big. You used to have to actually speak to somebody face-to-face or at least, you know, pick up the phone to talk to them. And now, with the whole text messaging and IM and email, you don't even have to speak to the person on the phone or face-to-face to have a conversation or to meet up with them. So it makes the whole process of, quote-unquote, dating much more casual.
Sounds
you know, you can send a text message on a Friday night at 9 o'clock that says, where are you going tonight? And that's considered an acceptable invitation to hang out. And, you know, there's no such thing as a written invite anymore. Nobody's going to call you on Wednesday for Friday or Saturday.
But these are people you've at least exchanged email addresses with. These
Absolutely.
Aren't strangers, so it's...
Absolutely. The whole kind of world of hooking up is based on your, what I call your social stratosphere. It's friends, friends of friends, friends of friends of friends. Everyone kind of knows each other through your social circle. I personally and most of my friends would feel very uncomfortable having any of these kinds of exchanges with strangers. So that's where, you know, people always say, is it safe? You know, how can you do this? And it's not a one-night stand with somebody you're never going to see again. These are, you know, making out with a friend of a friend, and it's kind of more innocent than it seems.
Well, let me ask you, I mean, the title of the book is A Single Girl's Guide to Living It Up, and you know, when you think of a girl, you think of someone, I think of someone between the ages of 15 and 22.
Isn't it funny that girls call themselves girls probably until they're 90?
That's what I'm talking about. So, and I would imagine, you know, there's, what is the highest divorce rate now ever in America?
It's a little over 50%, I believe.
And all those single divorced 50-year-old girls are probably reading your handbook about how to hook up using
how to use email.
I don't know if they're necessarily hooking up in the same way their daughters are, but I do think that even when you are in your 50s, it's necessary to kind of reacquaint yourself with the dating world, but through the ways we do it now. I mean, that's why online dating is so popular, because it really allows you to explore your options and see what's out there, not just, you know, on your street or just your friends.
How is it so popular?
The internet dating.
Oh.
Like Match.com and JDate and all those websites are not just for, you know, people in their 20s.
Right.
There are a lot of people, you know, who are after their divorce and stuff like that. And I do think it's an important thing to learn, you know. You can't just date anymore like you did back then. It's different.
Well, I do admit that my brother-in-law, who's over 50, he's over 60, met his present wife through the internet. So.
Oh, I've been to about 3 weddings now that are internet weddings, and they look really happy. I think it's because they didn't settle down. They really got on there and saw what was out there.
What's the difference between dating in Kansas and Manhattan?
Well, first of all, in Kansas, you know, my co-author and I talked about this a lot. We wanted our book to apply to people across the country, you know, college campuses in all cities, big and small. But one thing that's definitely different is New York City, nobody has a car. Everything's cab. So if you're going to do the quote-unquote walk of shame, which I'm thinking you might be familiar with, is you're going to have to walk or take a cab. And in Kansas, you can drive. But also, your social circle might be a little bit smaller in Kansas, just because, you know, the cities are a little bit smaller. But I think hooking up is hooking up no matter where you go. The rules are basically the same. You know, it's there's no formal commitment until there's a real discussion about it. And, you know, you can see what's out there for as long as you want.
Andrea, I have to just say one thing, and this is a little bit of a fuss at you.
You can fuss. It's okay.
Okay. I don't like the walk of shame. Everything was so great until you got up in the morning, so why should you be ashamed?
I'm so glad you said that. My co-author and I said we got to rename it. We got to call it, like, the stride of pride or something.
Right.
Because walk of shame implies that just because you slept somewhere that's not your own house, you have to be ashamed of it. And what's funny is a lot of times I sleep at my girlfriend's apartments. You know, you don't want to be traveling late at night in a cab or otherwise. So sometimes it's just safer to stay at a friend's house. And I'll come home in the morning and I'll think, oh, my God, people are looking at me like, what did she do last night? When really I just slept at my friend's house.
Well, I'm curious, Patricia, did you have something called the walk of shame when you were dating? I'm going to ask you if you did it, because I realize your son is listening. But I'm just curious if you had an expression or something similar to that.
Well, I mean, this is a really dated expression, because it goes back to the 50s, more when I was in high school or junior high. But, you know, what happened to girls is they lost their reputation.
Right. You know? Well, you'll be happy to know that people can still absolutely 100% lose their reputation. And, you know, girls are really concerned about their quote-unquote number. You know, the number is the number of people you've slept with. And no one wants a really high number. No guy, you know, that still holds true, that a guy is going to maybe hesitate a little bit if he knows that, you know, you've been around a lot. It's not the most attractive thing.
And now, a reading from the Hookup Handbook by Andrea Laventhal and Jessica Rosler. Exhibit D. Alcohol, the not-so-secret ingredient in a hookup. We all know the basics about drinking. It can make you lose your inhibitions, your money, and your standards. So it's no surprise that booze and bubbly are huge players in the hookup game. Here are some other reasons why drunken and hookup are often uttered together in the same sentence. 1. Because grand skim extra foam cappuccinos rarely put people in the mood to get it on. 2. Because it's kind of awkward to suddenly start making out with a friend of a friend of a friend unless you've been drinking. 3. Because juicy hookup stories rarely begin with, "So, I was completely sober," and... 4. Because otherwise you might care that the guy you're making out with has a lisp. 5. Because how else can you explain the 18 missed calls on his cell phone from 1:32 a.m. to 2:46 a.m.? 6. Because booze makes him hotter, taller, and smarter. 7. Because there's a reason they don't call it sad hour. 8. Because a kiss is just a kiss, but a drunken kiss is entertainment for all of your friends.
Do You're listening to Like Mother, Like Son with Patricia Adams and Ramsey Adams and Mark Sutton. And tonight we're talking to Andrea Leventhal about her book, The Hookup Handbook, A Single Girl's Guide to Living It Up.
Okay, well, let me ask you a question about sort of the theory behind the hookup handbook, in that people aren't dating anymore. They're hooking up, and they have multiple hookups, not necessarily sexual relations with all of them, but they're, you know, dating people, hooking
up.
You know, is the goal still to for girls to find someone that they fall in love with and get married? Is that,
you know, yes, absolutely. All the girls that we spoke to for the book said they 100% believe in, you know, true love and soulmates and all that stuff. And even at the end of the book, we talked about four couples who started off as just a hookup, and their relationship went, you know, full on into, actually, we have one couple that's engaged now. So it can go anywhere you want it to go, or any way you both really want it to go, because one person wants it to go and the other doesn't.
Okay, and what about, you know, the implication is this, we're talking about heterosexual relations here. Is the hookup handbook for however way you go?
I think it's for anybody, because you know what? We've had a lot of people who lead a lot of different lifestyles read this book and tell us that they loved it. And, you know, I think it just, it relates to anybody, no matter what your kind of preference is, because this is just what it seems like people are doing. And when I say people, I really mean from college to probably 30s. But then again, if you get divorced and you're in your 50s, you know, you're going to want to date again. I hope so.
One thing I like about this book, actually, that there is a sort of empowerment, as though the girl here is sort of in charge, making the decision. It sounds, within the context of your book, everything's really safe. I mean, some of that made me a little nervous, you know.
Right. We that was something we really felt was important to us. My co-author and I are not the type of girls who say, it's okay to sleep around and don't feel bad about yourself if you're a big slut. That's not really what we're about. We wanted girls to know that it's okay if you haven't found Mr. Right, or if you haven't been taken on a million dates, because to be honest, not a lot of girls have. So we wanted them to feel good about the fact that maybe when they go out on a Friday or Saturday night, they make out with someone who's cute, but they don't really find that soulmate. And we're just reassuring them, it's okay, you're in the same boat as everyone else, and it'll happen. But in the meantime, have fun and enjoy yourself, because, you know, it's nice to see what's out there and to not feel like you're settling.
So distinguish between a date and a hookup.
Well, we talk about it a little bit in the book, but a date is a formal plan. You know, I would assume that the guy will call you at least a couple days in advance. I think a date implies some kind of dinner, something where it's just the two of you and, you know, there's this implied feeling of formality. Whereas a hookup is, it could be a group of people you could be going out with, you know, your friends, his friends, or you just meet up at a bar, you know, you text each other. It's not always just the two of you, and you're not guaranteed dinner.
You almost seem to imply, though, if it's a date, the man asks the woman or the boy asks the girl.
Yeah, whereas with hookups, it seems like girls have no problem when it's a hookup saying, come meet me or I'm going to come meet you, and being much more forward about it. But with a date, I don't know very many girls who feel comfortable calling the guy up and saying, do you want to have dinner with me?
Because then they'd have to pay for dinner.
Exactly.
They don't want to pay. They're cheap.
No one wants to pay. They still want that to stay the same.
So some things don't change.
We're not stupid. Yeah.
Right. Well, you know, I'm going to go back to this sort of city versus country thing. I've sort of, in my dating life, it's been from the Midwest to the West to the East.
And what have you seen?
Well, I've seen it's a little harder to date in New York City than you'd think it would be.
I think people have ADD here. There's so much going on. There's so much to do and so much to see that I think they look at potential mates like restaurants or something. There's always a new and better one.
Right. It's like the biggest lonely city there is. You know,
oh,
you see so many lonely people eating alone, looking lonely, like they're too scared to talk. Maybe it's the people who are harder to approach in a city like New York. Where
I think you're right. I think that college is really the best place for hooking up, other than a big city like New York, because everyone's kind of in the same boat. Everyone's around your age, a lot of common goals and a lot of common grounds. You could just be in a class with someone, and that's the perfect way to meet them and form this little casual relationship for however long.
That's where I met my wife.
Is that how you met your wife?
In college class, yeah.
There you go.
Now I want to talk about something else that's somewhat of a difference between, now I'm going to compare the 60s to present day. One wonderful thing about the 60s was a liberation of underwear. I mean, in the 50s you grew up with the most restrictive bras and girdles and
I've seen
all
pictures.
Kinds
that's
of
painful.
Awful stuff. And high heels we call spike heels.
Spike heels.
But really, Andrea, you know what? You all don't look that different. Some of these young, you're wearing these high heels and these tight
please.
Little skirts. It doesn't look like you can move.
By the end of the day today, my feet were killing me from my shoes.
Hey, guys, you all have to keep going with our liberation here. Don't go backwards.
I know. You're right. That's a really good point. I'm going to go to work tomorrow and tell all the girls, throw out your stilettos, wear your sneakers.
And burn your bra.
And burn your bra. Take back your footwear.
Right. Cosmo.
Well, no, you know, it's all cute and it looks great, but, man, it's painful.
Well, I've wondered about that, so.
Talk a little about Cosmopolitan. It's sort of got a really important historical significance in the fashion and women's movement. And
it's very interesting that your mom brought up Helen Gurley Brown because she really was the pioneer of the whole sex and the single girl, you know, genre and idea, and it's unbelievable what she did. And there was Helen, and then it was a really long time until somebody made that big of a cultural wave like Kansas Bushnell with Sex and the City. And in my opinion, we did an article for the New York Times when our book first came out, and Helen Gurley Brown was actually quoted in it, which was amazing for me to have her comment on our book. And she just seemed to think that it's just forwarding the message that Cosmo had sent, you know, for years and continues to send while I'm there. Cosmo's very, you know, pro-female and doing your own thing and making yourself happy.
I would say that Helen Gurley Brown's book was revolutionary to me in a real sense. There were actually three, then Kate Millett's Sexual Politics, but also Erica Jung's, you know, Fear of Flying. And I think all of these books fit a certain genre of, again, just bringing reality out there, and you read it and you recognize it. You know,
right.
You recognize the truth of what's going on.
Right. That's what people say when they read the Hookup Handbook. We always say it's a humor book. You're supposed to laugh. But really, at the same time, a lot of people say to me, I just saw my friends and I in it. You know, we laughed, but this is our life. This is what we're doing. You validated it. And that's great for me.
You know, there's a boy crisis.
What kind of boy crisis?
With the sort of empowering of women's sexuality and competition in the workplace, et cetera, there's a theory that's pretty well promoted out there that there's a boy crisis. And
yeah, we've actually talked about that in Cosmo. The feminization of men or something. We gave it some funny title, but I absolutely agree with you that men get a little confused when you take over their quote unquote turf. When you become the sexual aggressor, when you become the career aggressor, I mean, I know that I like to make my own reservations and my own plans, and it's like you're either in or out with me.
Brad Pitt the ideal man at this point for a heterosexual woman?
To be honest, no, and I'll tell you why. Brad Pitt scares a lot of women, in my opinion, because he was the Brad Pitt who is the great husband and married to, you know, America's sweetheart and the girl next door. And he left that girl and, dated the hottie next door. And now he's starting a family with her. And I think that makes girls nervous.
And most women just instinctively associate themselves with the girl next door, not the hottie next
door. I think everyone thinks they're more Jennifer Aniston than Angelina Jolie because she is just a creature unto herself. I mean, she's beautiful and seems very intelligent and a do-gooder, and it's just overwhelming for the average girl. No one could keep up with all that. So, I mean, Jennifer Aniston's no schlub. You know, she's pretty tough to emulate, too. But I think when they got married, it was kind of a fairy tale thing for girls everywhere. Like, oh, that could be me.
How do you keep up with fashion? I mean, you know, fashion's one of those things. I just sort of think it's a bunch of people like you making the stuff up every day and forcing
in a
us
way,
to buy a bunch of stuff we don't
in
really
a way,
want.
Sometimes I feel like that, and I feel like I'm such a sucker for everything. But what's so fun about the internet and, you know, being able to see things right away is you don't have to wait for a magazine even to tell you what's cool. You can kind of figure it out yourself and then use what's in the magazine kind of as a guide. You know, I look at all the magazines like Cosmo, and they give great style suggestions, but it's more about, like, working with your own personal style now. That's what's really cool. And I think that came from the celebrities, which usually that stuff doesn't happen like that. But you see a lot of celebrities dressing in different ways, and girls want to emulate it, and the magazines kind of help you do that.
I have one more little bugaboo about your book, and that is the amount of alcohol.
Yeah,
it just seems like a lot.
It is a lot, and I absolutely can't lie. I just gave a speech about the book, and alcohol absolutely came up. And I said, I'm not going to lie. I mean, again, we look at the book as we were reporting on what's going on, which is why we didn't say it's good and mm-hmm. we didn't say it's bad. But by no means do me or my co-author do we think that it's okay to drink that much and then do something stupid. And what we say is drinking leads to drama, and a little bit of drama is okay and fun, but too much is like a Lifetime movie, and nobody wants their life to become a made-for-TV movie.
Right.
So you really have to monitor yourself, and you have to be safe and smart. I mean, everyone's going to make mistakes. That's kind of what the first few nights of freshman year of college are for. But then there's no excuses.
And now, another reading from the Hookup Handbook by Andrea Laventhal and Jessica Rosler. Pass the sippy cup, hooking up with the younger guy. The scenario: your friend begs you to come with her to her younger brother's 19th birthday party, and being the trooper that you are, you agree to spend the evening at The Landing, a college watering hole that considers a library card an acceptable form of identification. You push your way up to the bar and smirk at a group of barely legal girls who are wearing napkin-sized tops and throwing back kamikaze shots. Just as the bartender hands you a dirty martini, someone knocks into you and spills the entire glass down your shirt. When you turn around to tell off the drunken klutz who entered you in an impromptu wet t-shirt contest, you come face to face with an adorable baby-faced boy who is holding a wad of napkins. He apologizes profusely and buys you another drink. He asks you what year you are in school, and you chuckle and tell him that actually you're 25 and work in advertising. You both start laughing awkwardly, and you notice that he's blushing, which makes him look even younger and cuter. While you realize that the two of you have nothing in common, he goes to keg parties and you go to staff meetings, you just can't help pushing him into the bathroom and showing him what it's like to be seduced by an older woman.
You're listening to Like Mother, Like Son. Today we're talking with Andrea Leventhal, the author of Single Girl's Guide to Living It Up, The Hookup Handbook.
Well, do you feel, though, that alcohol is more than just an aid, but almost necessary to give women that sense of freedom?
I think many, many women have become to rely on alcohol as this social lubricant to give them confidence. And I think they'd be surprised that they don't need it as much as they do. I think it becomes a habit that you don't even realize that you have. Mm-hmm. And for some people, obviously, it becomes a big problem. And for others, I think as they get older, they just drink less.
And it sort of goes with the turf for that period of time.
Yeah, maybe. Because I've noticed as I've gotten more into my mid-20s, a few glasses of wine, two glasses, I'm happy. Whereas in college, you know, it was kind of nothing was enough. So I think that they're slowly becoming less popular.
You may be, if you're in your mid-20s, you may be a little young to talk about this in terms of your contemporaries, but I have noticed in the generation of the 30s, women who have PhDs, master's, law degrees are actually going back and staying at home and having not just one or two, but sometimes as many as three or four children. Very interesting, almost reversal. It's surprising to me.
It's so funny. You really bring up such good points, because we've talked about this at Cosmo many, many times, that these girls who are told, you can absolutely do anything. The world is at your feet. You can make any choice. You can be a doctor, a lawyer, a writer. I think they go, 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 and then they say, wait a minute, wait a minute. And they stop, and can I be a mom, or can I be a career woman? Can I be both? And for some reason, it just seems like women who choose to be moms are saying, I just want to be a mom. And I don't care how many PhDs I have or how quote-unquote smart I am. Being a mom is the most important thing. I really do personally believe that it is very difficult to be a full-time mom and have a full-time job. But that's just me. And I haven't done it yet, but I've seen people. And those who can, I think they're like biologically, I don't know, superior.
Let me ask you a question about Rupert Murdoch's MySpace. it's sort of the most talked about dating tool. There's a lot of concern for
the younger women,
and just sort of the way that mechanism for hooking up is structured. And I mean, what's your take on that? Is it really the future of this kind of online, internet, fully interactive dating,
so
virtual?
Funny. I knew about MySpace, but I was pretty hesitant to have anything to do with it, only because I felt like it was for high school kids, college kids. I just thought I was too old. And finally, I relented after so many people of my age were saying, you got to go on MySpace. And what I found is it is a place to reconnect with people you have not spoken to or wouldn't otherwise be able to find. I've been contacted by my senior year prom date, a college friend, and I haven't used it as a dating tool, but I'm sure that's a very easy way to go about dating, especially people you already know. You just mm-hmm. get in touch with them, and, hey, it's me, remember me? Before you know it, probably meeting for a drink, and there you go.
Speaking of meeting for a drink, it sounds like you're getting set up. Do you have a... You're
yes,
pouring
actually,
some drinks there? Do you have a date?
I was putting out my wine glasses. I was going to have some friends over.
All right. Is it a date, or is it a hookup, or what's it going to be?
It could be. Who knows? Could be a hookup later. But right now, it's girl time. And that's, what's so funny about that? We say in the hookup handbook, the most fun part about hooking up isn't, in my opinion, isn't really even the guys. It's telling the stories to your girlfriends the next day. I mean, this makes for the best brunch talk and cocktail talk.
That is just like Sex in the City.
Yeah, it's just so funny. I mean, everyone's stories, and it makes you feel so much better.
Should we check in with you tomorrow?
You should check in with me Friday. Thursdays are really the new Friday.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Andrea, thank you so much. I mean, this is really enlightening, and I think, I'm going to use this book backwards. Actually, no, I'm not, because I'm married.
You can use it as much as you want or as little as you want, but I'm just glad that you guys enjoyed it, and I'm really glad that you understood that the voice was it is empowering. We've gotten a lot of people who were very unhappy with it, but I don't think those people read it.
Now, I heard a really vicious rumor that you're going to make a movie out of this.
Actually, you are correct, hopefully. It was optioned, like 6 months before it came out, it was optioned, and we're thinking, oh God, what does that mean? But we just got word not too long ago that the Weinstein Company, Dimension Films, with the Weinstein Company, has purchased the script. Now, I didn't write the script. There's a great team of girls in Los Angeles who are on that, but I can't wait.
So it'll have characters.
Yes, it'll be, the hookup handbook told in a story version. So I'm really looking forward to it. Keep your fingers crossed.
Well, I know we can get your book at on Barnes & Noble's and
Barnes & Noble,
Amazon,
Borders,
the
Amazon.
Whole, everywhere. It's all over the place. So
all the places.
And do you have a website?
You know what? Sadly enough, we do believe that we don't have a website. We are in the middle of making a new one with all the new information. But I'm on MySpace, Andrea Laventhal.
Well, thank you, Andrea. This is really interesting. I enjoyed it tremendously.
You're so smart and so modern. I love it. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Tonight, Ramsey and Mark and I have been talking with Andrea about just how much things have changed in the dating world over the last 40 years.
Our guest today was Andrea Leventhal, author of The Hookup Handbook, which is available online and at bookstores everywhere. Visit us online at www.likemotherlikeson.org and let us know what you think of the show.
Good night.